In the culture, as in Central Mexico, where there are so few evangelical Christians, people want to know, what is a Christian, right? What kind of church do you go to? It's actually quite a frequent question. Maybe you get the same question here. What kind of church is that again that you go to? And we could give a lot of answers, but maybe one good answer is that our final authority is not a denomination or a pastor or a list of human rules, but it's what God tells us in the Bible, right? In Mexico, the churches we work with are actually called Bible churches. And I'd like to share something with you that I shared with them. The Bible is a book that is constantly changing the world and changing lives. It's an all-time bestseller. Even unbelievers have to admit how important the Bible is in our world. And we call the Bible the Word of God. Not long before the last words of the Bible were written, the Apostle Peter was writing a letter to the believers of his day. Hopefully you have a Bible with you. Let's take a look at what he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, and we'll start in verse 15. At this point, Peter knew that his life was almost over. And this is what he was thinking about. I want them to remember. I want them to know. He wrote, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. So what was it that Peter wanted them to remember? Well, he continues by writing about the Word of God. Verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Do we understand how radical this is? Peter is claiming to be an eyewitness of the Messiah. At the heart of the gospel, we don't find good morals or wise philosophies. We find events that actually happened in history. The apostles are constantly talking about real historic events. We did not follow cleverly devised myths or fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For example, a moment that Peter would never forget. He was with our Lord Jesus Christ on the holy mountain. You remember the story? Jesus took Peter and James and John, who were two brothers, and they went up this mountain for a prayer meeting. And what happened? His face, Jesus' face, began to shine like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And where did they come from? There were two men talking with Jesus. And somehow, the disciples knew who they were. The great prophets of old, Moses and Elijah. And Peter heard God's word from heaven. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Peter had seen the King, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He had seen with his own eyes and heard with his own ears. Imagine! Let's continue from verse 18. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So God's word is certain, sure, a solid rock. It's a bright light in a dark place given by the Holy Spirit. The bright and burning word of God. In order to understand what Peter is saying about the Bible, we're going to take a trip through history. All right? You ready? Not so much. All right. You're coming with me anyway. Think about the first time that God speaks in the Bible. Have you ever thought about this? The first time that God speaks, he speaks to something that didn't exist. And that which was not had to be because God commanded it with his what? his word. Let there be light. Light in time and space. He hadn't even created the sun yet. God doesn't need the sun to create light. The word of God is spiritual light that can create physical light. God spoke to the man, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Fill the earth, enjoy it, enjoy its food. But don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When God speaks, we should listen and obey. But as Peter explains later in his letter, false teachers love to twist the scriptures. And in the context, he talks about the letters of Paul as scripture, which is interesting. So right at the beginning, in Genesis 3, the wicked serpent set the example for today's false teachers. Did God really say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Are you sure you heard right? Are you sure God meant what he said? And the twisting and rejection of God's word destroyed our beautiful world. And so in Genesis 6, God's word is a word of judgment, the burning word. God said, I have determined to make an end of all flesh. It was God's word that assembled the clouds. It was God's word that poured out the waters. And in the just judgment of sin, the flood came. But God, in the brightness of his mercy, saved 8 people, Noah's family. Many years later, we read that the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. And God began to send his word to a special family, a special nation, a nation that would be forged in suffering and slavery, the nation of Israel. I can see a man, an old man, you might say a refugee. He had lived in a powerful country, in a high position, but he'd been forced to leave, and now, he's just an old shepherd watching his sheep. Actually, the sheep don't even belong to him. They belong to his father-in-law. But what was it that Peter said? God's word is a lamp shining in a dark place. That the shepherd sees a light. What is that? Oh, it's just a brush fire. No, it's just one bush. But the fire isn't spreading. It's not going out. It's not really burning anything. Well, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. So this old guy gets near the flames and he hears God's word. It was holy ground. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The bright and burning word of God. This time the light was terrifying. Sometime later, Moses was there on the mountain when God gave the Ten Commandments. The Bible says, now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, well, you speak to us and we will listen, but don't let God speak to us lest we die. Okay? So Moses wrote down God's word for them, for us. But did you know that the very first scriptures, the very first written word of God, may have been written by God himself? This is what the Bible says about the first copy of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 31:18. The Lord gave to Moses the 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. Well, Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, but he probably received the law on Mount Sinai first. And so the Ten Commandments are probably the first written words of the Bible. Isn't that interesting? So the first words would be, I am the Lord, Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. On the mountain, Moses said to God, please show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And when Moses tells us about that moment, when he saw God's glory, he doesn't tell us how he felt or even what he saw. He tells us about the word. Listen, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And Moses' face shone. Let there be light. The people were afraid of God speaking to them directly. And so God sent judges, prophets, kings, Moses, Joshua. Joshua followed God's word as his light, and he wrote down more of God's word. Did you ever notice this? Joshua 24:26. Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. Joshua knew in his time that he was writing down God's words. Samuel, the prophet, 1 Samuel 3:21, the Lord appeared again at Shiloh. Listen, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Here's an interesting sentence. And some, like King Saul, eventually rejected God's word, and some, like King David, accepted it. We don't know for sure, but it's possible that it was David who wrote the longest psalm in the Bible. It's brilliant poetry. Every section begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's all about God's word. You know where it is, right? Psalm 119. That's right. If anyone says you're too obsessed with God's word, go and read this psalm. Psalm 119. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You may know some parts of the psalm by heart. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Maybe that's what Peter was thinking about when he wrote that God's word is a lamp shining in a dark place. The people of Israel experienced the bright and burning word of God. Even the Gentiles recognized his word. When the prophet Elijah raised to life the son of the widow in the city of Sidon, the widow said, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." And like Moses, the lonely prophet Elijah heard God's word on a mountain. The mighty God passed by and there was wind, earthquake, and fire. But then, like a soft breeze this time, God's word came. "You're not alone, Elijah. I still have my people. There are still true believers who worship me." Isaiah, another prophet that Peter knew well. We know this because she quotes from Isaiah 40 in his first letter. "All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Isaiah 55. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." What a great gift, God's word given to Israel. The prophets heard it, defended it, sometimes died for it. How could it be that Israel could reject it? What did God say in Zechariah 7? "They refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They made their hearts diamond hard lest they should hear the law and the words that the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore great anger came from the Lord of hosts. As I called and they would not hear, so they called and I would not hear." That's a serious warning for us, isn't it? And so it was when Jesus rose from the dead, Paul and Barnabas' missionary team found many Jewish people who still rejected the light of God's word. It was a big evangelistic meeting in the city of Antioch, a Saturday. Acts 13 says that almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, 'I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. And it spread throughout the whole world." Second Peter 1, 19 to 21. "And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed." Yes, we have God's word here in Canada, here, from heaven to us. "A word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention." It's not Mission Impossible. It's not something you have to wait for because you're not worthy or you're not educated enough. No, God's word is for you today, here. "And you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place." A dark place. In Greek, that's not just a place without light. It's a place that's dirty, dangerous. Have you ever felt like you're in a dirty and dangerous place? Like, spiritually? Maybe where you work? Maybe in your own house? But we have light. "Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, hope for the future. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man." What's Peter trying to say? God's word doesn't come from someone's ideas about God. It's not a lie or a speculation or a theory. In fact, God condemns those who invent their own prophecies. Ezekiel 13:3, "Thus says the Lord God, 'Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing.'" Well, this is what I feel like God is saying, but it's just something from inside of us. Jeremiah 23:16, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord." No, this isn't someone's own interpretation, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The bright and burning word of God that we have in our hands is an act of the eternal Holy Spirit. How could we put a value on such a treasure? But we've missed something. We passed right over it. Maybe you noticed. This passage isn't really about God's word. Well, it is. But it's about something else, right? How does it start? Verse 16. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You see it? The word of God is about something, about someone. This isn't about words on a page. Well, it is, but it isn't. It's about the eternal Son of God. As the author of Hebrews says, "In these last days, he, God, has spoken to us by his Son." The Apostle John gives us a hint in the first chapter of his gospel, right? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In this context, the Word is the Son of God, the Christ. John says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This is the same word that Peter uses, the prophetic word. John takes the idea of the word that we find all throughout the Old Testament, and he applies the same concept to describe Jesus Christ himself. "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning. And so the Apostle John takes us back to the beginning of the history of the world again. Are you ready this time? A little bit more. When we read about the Word of God creating light and life in Genesis 1, John says, "In him, in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men." Satan taught us to doubt God's word and find substitutes for God's word, as the false teachers do. But then along came the dragon killer, the serpent stomper, the faithful word of God, Jesus Christ. God said to Jeremiah, "Is not my word like a fire and like a hammer that breaks the rock to pieces?" Revelation 19, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." Here we see the judge with fire in his eyes. Once the world was judged by the flood, and the judge is coming back. Who is the judge? It says in Revelation, "He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God." But just like the light of the rainbow reminds us of God's mercy, we see in Christ's light the salvation of his people. Now, here's something strange. When God came to teach Abram about his covenant of faith, did you hear what it said? This from Genesis 15. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision." The word came in a vision? Don't you normally hear words? Could it be? Could it be that Christ himself came and showed himself to Abram? Isn't it interesting that God appeared to Moses as light in the burning bush, and Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God? This was more than fire, more than an invisible spirit. The word came to Moses. On Mount Sinai, the people were also afraid of God's word. "Well, this is what we're going to do then," God said to Moses. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, and whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." And so the great prophet came, the word of God himself in the New Testament. God wanted to speak to his people face to face, and so the word became flesh. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Here's the thing. No one can see God. No one has seen God in his eternal nature. He's a spirit, invisible. But the word reveals him to us. Yes, the written word, but I think also, even in the Old Testament, the Christ, the Word of God, was revealing God to us. We can't see God in his spiritual light, but the Word comes to us and explains him to us. The Word shone in the burning bush. The Word came to Abram. The Word sat on a throne in the temple, and Isaiah saw his glory. And John tells us the Word became flesh. The two prophets saw the glory of God on a mountain in the Old Testament, but they never saw his face. But many years later, on a mountain in the New Testament with Peter, James, and John, they spoke with God face to face, physically. Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus, the Word, the same God they knew in their earthly lives and the same God they knew in heaven. We don't worship a book of paper and ink. And of course, the written word and Christ, who is the word, are different. But we have to be careful not to separate God's word from God himself. You've probably heard the illustration. What would happen if I said that I love my wife, and then I said that I'm not really interested in what she has to say? Right? "Love you, honey, but please don't talk to me. I love you, not your words." Men, this kind of thing will not improve your marriage, all right? It's ridiculous, right? In a certain way, her words are her. "Oh, but I don't need to read the Bible to know and love God." Ridiculous. Are you going to reject God's explanation of himself and his words for you? This is why the Gentiles glorified the word of the Lord. Acts 13:48. The word of God is eternal. The word of God creates light from nothing. The word of God accomplishes its purpose. God is revealed in his word. God's spirit speaks in his word. And the word, who is God, became a man. Many of us know the verse. And really, it's a terrifying verse in Hebrews chapter 4. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You can't hide anything from the word. Not a single wicked thought, not a single sin from your past. You know the next verse? And no creature is hidden from his sight. From the sight of whom? Many Bible translations say God's sight, but in Greek it just says his. His sight. And what is the subject of the sentence? The word of God is living and active. Could it be that nothing is hidden from the sight of the word of Jesus himself? I don't know, but it sure fits. Jesus, the Word, is the judge and also the high priest who brings forgiveness, truth and grace, light and mercy. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, have you run to Jesus for mercy? Personally, it's not something this church can do for you. Jesus is the Almighty God, revealed on the mountain to the three apostles. Peter says, "We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." God used Peter and others to write down the revelation of God so we would have it. It's not a myth or an imaginary story. Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. The word bears witness to the word," and vice versa. Of all the words that we speak in our lives, the ones that will matter most are the words that reflect the word of God, that reflect his majesty. We're like diamonds. Their value is in the way they reflect the light. But if we never open our Bibles to let the bright light shine, we will never reflect it. Open it every day. Here you'll see the Son of God, the prophetic word more fully confirmed. A lamp shining in a dark place, the breath of the Spirit and the heart of the Father. Oh, but it's hard to understand. It's so much work. I don't really have the time. Well, yeah, sometimes it's hard work. Find someone else here who can help you. How can we work together as a church to know the whole Bible? Or are we just waiting for the next conference, or the next book, or the next movie, or the next viral YouTube video? Really, that cute kitten video has very little eternal value. These things aren't necessarily bad, but could it be that we never take the time to read the Bible for ourselves? Take the torch that we call the Word of God and touch it to your life. Yeah, it'll burn away what's evil or useless. And if you haven't repented of your sin and come to the Savior, if you haven't trusted in him alone to save you, God's word will become a burning fire of judgment that you can't escape. But if you're a believer in the Christ, in his mercy, the word will make you shine like the stars forever and ever. You need faith? Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ, Romans 10. Do you need strength, power? Read the word. If God upholds the universe by the word of his power, he can give you strength in your trial. Teens, young adults, you want to conquer evil? I know that many of you live in a very dark place. John said that this to the youths of his day, you have overcome the evil one. But what does he say first? You are strong and the word of God abides in you. We say that we value the Bible, but do our hands open it? Do our eyes linger on its pages? Do we read every book to see our Lord? Do we say with David that the words of the Lord are more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb? Let all of God's word soak into your life. Today we see our Lord Jesus in the pages of Scripture. But John says the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The dawn is breaking and the morning star is rising in our hearts. And someday soon we ourselves will see the light of God's word splitting the clouds. Let there be light! When this creation has given its last cursed groan of pain, when the last rebellious shout has risen from the empires of this world, and the last foolish word has formed on the lips of humankind, we will live in the light in that city which will be our eternal home. The book of Revelation tells us that that city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb, the Word of God. May God give us the grace to know him through his bright and burning word as never before. Let's pray. Lord, you were never obligated to reveal yourself to us, but you didn't leave us in the darkness. You gave us your bright and burning word. And you sent your Son to be human. Your word became flesh. And he has shown us who you are. Thank you for the written word, the Bible. Thank you for the word that is Jesus Christ. Lord, we have just one prayer today. Help us to know your word, all of your word. We pray that those who are still not your people would accept your word today and find forgiveness in life. And we pray that those of us who are in Christ would open our Bibles and find life every day in its pages. Help us recognize the value of this great gift. In the name of the Word of God, who is with God and who is God, full of grace and truth, Jesus Christ. Amen.